please open with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, if you're new to us, we've been in a series on the Gospel of John for a while, and this is the fifth chapter. Last week, Pastor Roy preached on the first 18 verses of John 5, and there was a miraculous healing of a man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And Pastor Roy preached to us about the mercy of God and the grace of God and the rest of God. And where we pick up is kind of where he left off on that idea of rest, the rest of God that came up at the end of that section. And the theme I'm calling the message today is get on the bus. Get on the bus, Miss Donna. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, you'll figure it out in a few minutes, hopefully. But the theme today is get on the bus. I'm going to begin with verse 19 and read through verse 29. This is the reading of God's word. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is God's word. Let's open together with a word of prayer. Wow, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, your word testifies about itself that it's living and active, which means it's not dead and dormant, but it's living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to get beneath the surface. And Lord, I need that. As a person that likes to be superficial, Lord, I need you to do your grace of surgery to get beyond the surface, to get to the hearts and the thoughts and the attitudes and the minds. And I pray you do that through all in all of us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place. We pray that you would continue to fill this room, and that you would fill the people in this room. Help us to understand these words that we look at today, because we can't in and of ourselves. And not only that, we pray that you would help us not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Help us to walk in light of the things that we read and we talk about. And we ask all this for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, I don't know if you guys heard of a person, and I think he's actually a significant figure during Black History Month. His name is Herman Boone. Anybody ever heard of him? You can put that picture up. Herman Boone was a football coach in Northern Virginia. He just died last year. And he was a football coach for a long time of a school called T.C. Williams High School. Any Eastern Coast people in here? Besides me, all right. Some of y'all, hey, all right, shout out to the East Coast family. But he really became known because they made a movie about his experience as a football coach. You can put up that next one. Remember the Titans. Denzel was in it, all right? So now, oh, yeah, now I know, Denzel. But it was an amazing story that happened. It was in the early 1970s. And what happened, it was during a period of integration. And so what they did is they took a black high school and a white high school and they put them together. And so you can imagine how that's going to go. Because they weren't together and they didn't want to be together. But they were made to be together. And so what they did is they had football teams. So the two football teams became one. And they made Herman Boone, the African American, they made him the coach. And really, honestly, they weren't expecting him to last that long. They were doing that for show, and they figured he would give up and he would quit. Well, one of my favorite scenes in this movie, I'm going to spoil it now, but it's all right. I'm not going to tell you the rest of it. But there's a scene where they're just getting on the bus to go to football camp, and that happens a couple weeks before school starts. You can put that picture up. And the players, they've met each other one time. Even the coaches don't really like each other. They don't trust each other. They don't want to be together. And so in this scene, they're about to get on the buses to go to their place where they're going to have football camp. And parents are all gathered around, and they're separated from each other, of course. Well, two of the players from the formerly white team come up to the coach, Denzel Washington. And the one player he's talking to is the captain, the best player on the other team. And he says, listen, my name is Gary, and we've decided that we're going to take half of your people and have y'all on offense. We don't need none of your people on defense. We're going to take care of that. But we're going to let y'all have half of the offense, and that's how it's going to go. And so Herman Boone is like, oh, really? You don't need none of my people? He said, yeah, that's right. And then he said, what'd you say your name was? Did you say it was Jerry? He said, no, it's Gary. He said, no, you must have said Jerry, as in Jerry Lewis. And the other guy that's next to him, he said, oh, you, and there's Dean Martin. And then he turns around to the whole crowd and makes this scene. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that here we have Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. Jerry tells jokes and sings songs. Dean gets the girls. Give him a round of applause. And everybody's like, what in the world is he doing? And then he turns and he looks back to the player again and gets right up in his face. And he says, Gary, where's your parents? Can you show them to me? And he says, my mom is right there. And he points to the mom. Denzel waves. He says, how you doing? Well, I want you to know something. When you get on that bus, you ain't got no mama no more. You got your brothers on the team and you got your daddy. Now, you know who your daddy is, don't you, Gary? And then he's quiet. He's like, uh-oh, what did I get myself into? And he says, if you want to play football on this team, you will answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy? Who's your daddy, Gary? He says. And he says, you. And he says, that's right. And he says, is this your team or is this your daddy's team? And he says, yours. He says, all right, fix your tie, put on your coat, and get on the bus. Put on your coat, get on the bus. And they get on the bus. And then what happens from that point on is it really begins there's a lot of rough stuff, but they end up coming together as they were away at camp. And it's amazing. Now listen, it's a Disney movie, so you know they're going to win, right, at the end. But what they do is they come together. They're brought together. And then they go back to school, because remember, this is a couple weeks before school starts. And they end up being used to help bring reconciliation in the school and even in the whole town as the movie goes along. But really, how does it start? It starts with him calling them to get on the bus. And what he means by that is, I want you to submit. I'm the one who is the authority. I'm the one who has appointed the coach. And if you submit to my authority, if you trust me, honestly, that's one of the things he's saying, then I'm going to bring us the victory. And that's exactly what happened. Not just a victory on the football field, but a victory in their lives. And that is a small illustration of what Coach Jesus invites us to here in this passage. He calls them, there's a lot of opposition there. You heard that at the end of Roy's sermon. But he calls them to get on the bus. He said, I am the authority. You are on my team. And ultimately, if you want to have the victory, not just in a football game, but in life, then you will submit to me. You will get on the bus and trust me. So that question isn't just for them. That question is also for us today. Will we get on the bus And what I mean by that is put our trust in Jesus and believe and submit and listen, go where he calls us to go. Because if you're on the bus, you're not driving it. Somebody else is driving and you have to trust that they know where they're going. And so the question for us is, will we get on the bus? Jesus has invited us to a life of reconciliation and justice and righteousness, a life of his kingdom. Will we submit to him and get on the bus? Well, how do we do that and why should we? Well, there's three aspects of this that come out in the passage. What we want to look at is the work of the Son, Jesus. We want to look at the life of the Son. And then lastly, of the authority of the Son. All right, now I'll go through those in turn. The work of the Son, the life of the Son, and then the authority of the Son. All right, so I want to pick up with verse 19. Now, one of the things you'll notice, the way I've structured this sermon, all right, like those of you that are new, I'm very simple. I'm not complex at all. But the way I structured this was around three statements of Jesus. Now, you see in verse 19 at the beginning, it says, truly, truly, I say to you. Do you know what that is in Greek? Literally, it's amen, amen, I say to you. And there's three times in the passage where Jesus starts a sentence that way. So that's how we're going to do the whole sermon, around these amens of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now, usually when we amen, we do it like Ed, right? After the person says something that you like, you say, oh, amen, I like that. That's pretty good, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. But what do you notice about how Jesus uses amen? Jesus doesn't wait for you to agree at the end. Jesus says amen at the beginning of the sentence. Amen, amen. What I'm about to say is so good that if you got any sense, you'll say amen to it. But even if you don't, it's an amen already. And I haven't even said it yet. That's how awesome Jesus is. So what's his first amen? He says, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you. And he talks here about the work of the Son. He says the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Now, if you were here last time, you saw that. What Jesus is talking about here, that caused a little bit of controversy. If you go back to 17 and 18, the very end, Jesus answered them. They're having this discussion about the Sabbath because Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I am working too. Do you see what Jesus is doing there? Well, they do, because it says this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Why? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So there's a sense in which all of us, in some sense, are children of God and that we're made in the image and likeness of God. But Jesus is saying, I am a child of God in a way. I'm a son of God in a way that nobody else is. I'm equal with God the Father. And for them, that's blasphemy. And honestly, they're right. If it's not true, it is blasphemy. But if it is true, then we bow down and we worship him. So go back to the next verse, verse 19. Truly, truly, I say, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. So Jesus is saying, the work that I'm doing that you're accusing me of, it's not just me. I'm doing the Father's work, and I enjoy doing that. Now, my oldest son, Josh, this is wild. We just were on a college visit with him. That's crazy. But I remember when he was a baby, he was walking, actually, before he could talk. He, I don't know if any of your kids ever did this, but he, like, made up his own language. And but he would, like, talk in sentences, like, with this strange language that only he knew. Well, so he's like literally he's a year old. He's walking, but he can't speak very many real words yet, at least in our language. But one of the things he would do, and we're trying to figure out, what is Josh doing? He would pick up one of his books and he would kind of pace back and forth. And then he would start talking. He'd go, da 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 ba ba da ba da ba da 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 da. We're like, what is he doing? And then he would take the book at the end and throw it down on the ground. and spike it. And finally, we're like, you know what he's doing? He's preaching. Now, I don't know where he got the spike thing at the end. I don't do that, all right? I think he mixed it up with football, too, a little bit. But he was like doing the things that he saw his father doing. And that's what Jesus is saying that he does. Now, put up verse 20. I want you to notice something here. I missed this the first couple times I read it. But it says here, for the Father loves the Son. So in other words, the working that the Son is doing is not to try to earn something from his Father. It's not because he's a worker of his Father. It's because the Father loves him. And it says the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And then look, it says, greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Think about what they've seen already, right? They've seen Jesus change water into wine. Now they've just seen Jesus heal this man who couldn't walk before. They're about to see Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The greatest fellowship meal ever. The greatest fish fry in history. They're about to see Jesus walk on water. They're about to see Jesus raise a man from the dead. He's doing his Father's work. And so, how do you respond to all that? What do we do? How do we get on the bus? We got to believe in the working of the Son. Do you believe Jesus' testimony about who he is? A lot of them didn't, right? They wanted to kill him, some of the people. But how about the disciples? They're like, man, we don't know exactly what we're getting into, but we're with you. We believe you. What about you? Where are you today? Maybe you're here today and you're visiting and you're kind of investigating the claims of Jesus. Maybe you're here like a lot of people are like, man, Jesus, he was a great man. He's a prophet. He's all these things. He was a great leader of a ministry. That's wonderful. A lot of people will say that about him. But Jesus is saying that's not enough. I'm not just a good teacher. I'm not even just the best teacher or the best leader. I am the Son of God, equal with God. I'm God in the flesh. Crazy to figure out, I know, but that's who I am. You've got to receive me as I am. So where are you today? He's saying it's not enough to just be a fan of Jesus. He wants you to be a follower of Jesus. And here's another application as I was thinking about that. Remember what I said about the Father and the Son? What I say, how'd the Father feel about the Son? He loves him, right? He loves the Son. Well, you know what's good news about that? Is that he loves you the same way. Later on in John, it says that even he loves us even as he loves his own Son. Maybe somebody came today and you needed just to hear that. You ain't listening to anything else that I say, but that's okay. Hear that part. That just as the Father loves his Son, so also he loves you through his Son, Jesus. You're a beloved daughter. You're a beloved son of his. That's who you are today. You're not the sum total of all the things that you've done wrong. You're not all the labels of all those things that everybody said that you are. You are a beloved child of God. And the Father invites you into his work, not because you got to earn his love, but in response to it. And the last part of that is, where do you see the Father working? Where do you see him working in your midst? Where do you see him working in your own life? Pastor Roy last week talked about how you all had the testimony service, right? You remember that. And it was powerful because you got to hear the different places where God is working. Praise God for that. Well, in those places that God is working, join him in his work. Some of you know, we just started our church in May of last year. And one of the things that started happening, and this was not part of the plan at all, but we started meeting in the office on New City on Hodemann and Etzel. And right across the street, there's a building called Alpha Terrace, which is an older African American resident dwelling, and we had one person from our church that came from that lived in Alpha Terrace. But then what started happening is all these people started coming. And this was not, I wish I could take credit for that and say, you know, that was my idea. I thought of that all along. I didn't think about that at all. But God was doing something. I baptized one of the guys from Alpha Terrace just a couple of months ago. And now we have house, you guys have house churches, right? We have a house church that meets in Alpha Terrace, in the apartment building. And it's actually at 4 o'clock, because 6 o'clock, too late, they have it in there. But that's something that God is doing. And we're just along for the ride with that. What is he doing here? What is he doing in your midst? Get on board with that. All right, we got to get moving. So we looked at the work of the Son. Secondly, the life of the Son, the life of Jesus. The second amen is in verse 24. What does he say there? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Do you hear that? Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life already. And then look at what he says. He does not come into judgment. And what he means there by judgment is he's talking about judgment for sin, punishment for our sin that we deserve for our sin. But he says there, he does not come into judgment, but his path passed from death to life. Now, you see this kind of talked about in different ways about the life of Jesus in the Gospel of John. A little bit later, we're going to see him talked about as the bread of life. And then we'll see him talked about as the resurrection and the life. And then the way and the truth and the life. There's a verse that I love in John chapter 10 where it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And there it says, the thief, on the one hand, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the good shepherd, Jesus, has come that we might have life. And not just have it, but have it to the fullest. That's the life that he wants for his people. Now, if you put up the next verses, it says it also in this chapter in John 5. In verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. And then a little bit later in verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Now, if you go back to verse 24, I want you to notice something. When does eternal life start? Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say you're going to have life after you die. He says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Now, right now. A little bit later in John 17, he'll say, this is eternal life, that you would know me and the God who sent me. That's eternal life. Now. It starts right now. It's not something you wait for until you die and you go on. It begins right now where he comes and lives in and with you. That's the life that he brings to his people. So you want to get on the bus, believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, and have life. 1 John chapter 5, John writes, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So you want to get on the bus, believe in the Son, and have life. Maybe you've come today and you're not sure if you had life. Well, he says it right there. If you've got Jesus, you've got life. If you know him, you have it. Or if you're here today and you want life, you're like, yes, yes, I do. Then come to him. Come to Jesus and have life. Now, some of you are here today and you're saying, I got Jesus already, but honestly, life stinks right now. Life is hard. Life is a mess. Life is a struggle. I feel like giving up, Pastor. You keep saying we're going to have life and life abundantly, but I'm not feeling it right now. Now, I don't want to tell anybody that because I don't want them to know what's really going on inside me, but that's how I really feel. Well, if you feel that way, that's all right. Well, let's think for a second. Remember the first part of that verse in John 10, the thief comes to what? Steal and kill and destroy. And so let me ask you, where is the thief working to steal and kill and destroy in your life right now? Where is he working in the life of our community? Or is he working in the life of our church to try and steal and kill and destroy? Can you imagine with me, what would it look like? Is that in the place of his stealing and killing and destroying? Jesus would give life, that he would give deliverance in those places. He would break those chains off. What would that look like? Will you plead for that? He wants to do that. Will you ask him? Will you pray that for one another? Will you pray that in place of those places that the enemy is stealing and killing and destroying, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to hide. You don't have to cover it up. Take it to your brothers and sisters and tell them he's trying to do this in my life. Will you join with me? Will you come alongside me and pray that he will give life in that place? He will. He will. He gives life. Lastly, let's go on. We've already seen the work of the Son and the life of the Son. We want to end with the authority of the Son, the authority of Jesus. This last amen statement is in verse 25. And there he says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. On the one hand, he says it's now here. So those who hear the voice of God, he has the authority to give life to you right now. There's a passage in John chapter 11, this famous story where Jesus speaks. I didn't put that verse up there. Where Jesus speaks to a dead man in a grave. And he listens, he wakes up and he comes out. And Jesus says, that's what I will do with all of you right now. He says to you who are dead, he says, take off the grave clothes and let them go. Come out and live and have life in me. Now we can go to verse 27. It says that the Father, he has given him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And that's a reference to a famous passage in the Old Testament. You can put that up from Daniel chapter 3. This idea of the Son of Man. It says that I saw in the night visions and behold. Wait, did you teach this, Eileen, too? There you. Thank you, sister. With the clouds of heaven. There came like one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. And so the people were looking forward. All right, when is the one like a Son of Man going to come? And Jesus is saying, I'm the man. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one. And I'm here. And I have the authority to bring this life. Now you might hear and say, man, this Jesus, he's a little full of himself, isn't he? That's kind of bold, isn't it? Well, let's look. Let's go back to verse 22. I skipped over this before. But look at what Jesus says. For the Father judges no one, but he's given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so again, he's saying, I am equal with Almighty God. Excuse me, I am God in the flesh. If you say you honor God, then you also have to honor me. If you honor me, you also honor the Father. And then this last passage in verse 28. Jesus says to them, listen, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming. Remember before he said the hour is here. But now he's saying it's coming. It's both already and it's still coming. It's not yet. When all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And this is not one of those zombie movies either, what it's talking about. They will hear his voice and they will come out. And then it talks about making a distinction here. It said those who have done good to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And you're here and you're saying, wait a minute. That sounds like a lot of works righteousness to me. I thought you believed in salvation by grace. Well, remember what we just read in verse 24. Whoever believes in him, in Jesus, has life. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his son. Andrew preached on that. That whoever believes in him shall have life and not perish. Right? So it is by grace. But those who have received the life, that life works itself out in righteousness, in righteous living. It doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall. But it means that the fruit of that, by and large, will be righteousness and peace and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. All of those fruits of the Spirit. Another passage is in Ephesians 2, because there it says, it is by grace. Pastor Roy preached about this last week, that you have been saved. Right? And this is not from ourselves. This is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that nobody can boast. You believe that? Is that good news? Can I get an amen on that, please? Right? I know Jesus gets it at the front end, but I need it at the back end. But then the next verse, it says, for we are God's workmanship. Literally in Greek, it says we are his poema, his work of art. We are God's workmanship, created to do good works, created for good works that we might walk in them. And so that's what that life looks like. So as we get ready to close, this is the authority of the Son. Get on the bus and submit to that authority. Well, how do we do that? Again, back in those verses 22 and 23, honor the Son. It's not enough to just say, well, I respect Jesus, or Jesus is cool, or I'll listen to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He's saying, other people have said this, either crown me or kill me. That's what he's saying to those guys. I am the king. And so you either believe that or you move on from me. But also, not only honor the Son, but live in hope. I think this is a quote from Tim Keller about hope. But he says that we live in the present according to whatever we believe our ultimate future to be. We live in the present based on whatever it is we believe our ultimate future to be. Well, how do we do that? Well, great illustrations are in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about his coming again. And how to be ready. He gives these three images. The first is of these bridesmaids. And the image there is to be watchful and ready. And then he does one on what he calls the talents. Or these gifts that he gives people. And the lesson there is to steward what it is that God has given you. And then the third image is this one of the sheep and the goats. Where in that famous story he says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And those, everybody was surprised. They said, well, when did we see you sick and hungry and thirsty and a stranger? When did we do that? And then, do you remember what he says? Whatever you've done for the least of these, so you've done to me. So how do we live in light of the authority of the Son? What does it mean to get on the bus? Be watchful. Take the things that God has given to us. What are the things God has given to you? What are the ways that God has made you? What are the ways that God has gifted you as a church and individually? Use those things for the sake of his glory, of his kingdom. And then how do we treat the least of these among us? Who are the least of these here? Who are those that have passed over? Somebody's like, me? That's right. Well, how do we treat those that have passed over? That's what a life on the bus looks like, is living for them. So you say, all of that sounds good. I want to believe in the work of the Son and the life of the Son and the authority of the Son. But where do we get the power and the strength to live that out? Because, man, I'm tired. I've been trying to do that. What am I supposed to do? What about when I'm weary? What about when I don't feel like doing it anymore? What about when it looks like what I'm doing over and over again ain't really doing nothing? It looks like it's not making a difference at all. How do I keep going then? Remember what Jesus says, there's greater works that you're going to see and that you're going to marvel at. And the greatest of those works is where we continue to look. It's where the Son himself, you say, I don't want to submit to an authority. Well, look at him. Look at how he did. Because what the Bible says about him is being in very nature God. He didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself nothing. And then he became obedient. How much did he become obedient? Into becoming a servant, but going to die on a cross for our sins. Marvel at that over and over again. Don't lose your wonder for what he's done, for how the Son has submitted himself to the authority of the Father. Why? For your sake. For you. So that you and I can know him. The Bible says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where he lives to pray for you. Do you understand that you have the greatest law firm in history? God, God, and God. Who's on your case? Who's on your side? Who's interceding for you? You and I are able to cross from death to life because Jesus Christ crossed from life to death for us. You and I are able to escape judgment because Jesus Christ took the judgment on himself so that we could become a part of his family. Will you get on the bus today? Will you trust him? Will you believe him? The Son, Jesus Christ, and go wherever it is that he wants us to go for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Son. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for you. We thank you for how you humbled yourself. And you became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And we thank you that you didn't stay dead, but you were raised and you ascended to the place of highest honor where you live to minister for us as we are on the bus with you. So we pray that you would guide us, Lord. Strengthen us. Lord, you know what each person today comes in need of. Lord, those that come today in need of life, I pray that they might cry out to you and find it. All the places in our lives where the enemy is stealing and killing and destroying, Lord, I pray you'd replace those things with life. And Father, we pray that you might move us outward so that we might care for the quote-unquote least of these that are in our midst. And we pray all that for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We'll make a circle around the room and we'll be serving those elements to one another.